Hi, West Side. Welcome to our Q&R podcast, where we take questions from you about the sermon. But before we get to that, today I am with my friend Robert. If you have seen someone who serves on the hospitality team and looks like the actor Stanley Tucci, it's probably Robert you see. Hey, Robert. Welcome.
Hey, it's good to be here today.
How are you?
I am fabulous. For people who are listening, we just came from the service.
Yep.
So it's really fresh in our heads, mm-hmm. which is really good and not good at the same time.
Because we'll forget it in an hour.
Well, it's because Pastor Cliff said so many amazing things today that it's just popping. And,
yes.
and like, so I bet I would want to change my answers in an hour's time.
Okay, so maybe we'll come back and do a redo. We're in the book of Acts, and our text this week was Acts 4, 13 to 22. But first, let's talk about last week. Robert, any cool connections, discoveries for you? I know you went back on Wednesday and re-listened to the sermon on Acts 4. Was it 1 to whatever it was?
13.
Mm-hmm. Why did you do that, for starters? Why did you go back and listen to a sermon you'd already heard?
I think it's a compliment to Westside. We have amazing pastors here.
True.
And every single message is so packed mm-hmm. that I think I grab it. And then when I listen to it again in the week, I realize, oh my goodness, I missed mm-hmm. so much. So I would encourage everyone,
yeah.
just go back and yep. take as much as you can from it, because mm-hmm. it's just jam-packed with stuff that will change your life.
And every time we read the Bible, we can read the same passage and we get something out. It's the way the Spirit speaks to us through Scripture. So the same is going to be when you hear a sermon again that you've already listened to, of course.
I listened on twice this week, and each time mm-hmm. It was something completely different that impacted
that.
Me.
I love that. So what was the big takeaway from last week's sermon then for you?
Last week's sermon, I wish he could have put it into 10 parts, because there was so much. It was packed. I think the biggest part,
yeah.
and the thing I even used today, was that people are watching you.
Mm.
They either are watching you to fail,
yeah.
or they're watching you to succeed, and that what you believe is actually true.
Yeah.
And is it impacting your life?
Mm-hmm.
So we had a conversation today with one of the people at church.
Mm-hmm.
She shared this thing, and she said, why am I going through this horrible situation?
Yeah.
And I went, but you're still expressing joy,
mm-hmm.
and you're coming to church, and
mm-hmm.
no one would ever know that.
Yeah.
You're showing that what you believe mm-hmm. is real. It's changed your life.
Yeah. And so, it's true. And the world is looking for truth, and we're coming up empty because we can't land on anything. So I love that the church would be a place or a beacon of truth for a world that's desperately looking for truth. That's awesome.
And we need to be confident in what we believe
yep.
and what we say.
Yeah.
So just like last week, I was telling you about a place to get a hamburger.
Yes.
You thought it was a different place. And I went, absolutely, it is not.
This one's way better.
It's so much better.
Yeah.
You have to go there.
Yeah.
And then I said to you, I am so confident that it is the best. I'm actually even going to give you a gift certificate to go.
Because he wants us to try it so badly. And we should be like that with Jesus.
That's exactly
yes.
what I was thinking.
I love it.
I thought we should be that confident.
Yeah, that's great. I love that. Okay, today's text is Acts 4, 13 to 22. I want this. Like when Cliff was talking about the boldness, the qualification, and the transformation we talked about, they were uneducated, common people, but they had been with Jesus, and that made the difference. I love that. I want that. I've admitted to most people in my life, I want to be prepared. I want to be overqualified, and I want to control everything. And so I do have some questions for Cliff about, like, how do we balance that preparation, but we'll get to that later. So Robert, what are you taking away from the sermon today? Like, how will what Cliff preached about today impact the rest of your week?
It can't not impact me.
Okay.
I think I even drew this in like a heart in my notes. He's enough for every ache.
Mm-hmm.
He gives us rest.
Yep.
And in a world that is so crazy right
yep.
now, there is so much unrest. We need rest.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like the thing, and we just spent time in his presence.
I know.
We felt it. You couldn't not feel
right.
it. I feel like I wanted that healing embrace that Pastor Cliff talked
yeah.
about.
Yeah.
Like, I remember when my dad passed, this mm-hmm. this man that was my dad's friend came and he hugged me. And that's all he did was hug me.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, that's it. That was enough. And I just felt that.
Yeah. Okay.
And so that was incredible for me.
So experiencing the presence of Jesus like that embrace is something that you have an ache for that.
I absolutely do. Mm. And the joy. Pastor Cliff talked about the joy that we get in his presence, that it doesn't depend on our circumstances, mm-hmm. that it depends on our will to rejoice in the Lord mm-hmm. always. Mm-hmm. And it's a choice you make.
Right.
Every single day, that things, whether they go planned or, as planned or not, mm-hmm. We need to dig our heels in and choose yep. joy.
Yep.
Are we considering our circumstances mm-hmm. more than we're considering yeah. our huge God?
Like the truth of who God is a source of rest and peace and joy for us. And
absolutely.
So not our circumstances. Our circumstances will never bring that to us. I mean, we might have a good day or a bad day, but that goes up. It's just like our feelings.
Absolutely. Okay. And he says, I'm everything you need. I am your provider. Mm-hmm. So are you worried? Then I'm your peace. If
right.
are you troubled? Mm-hmm. I'm your deliverer.
Yeah.
Do you need a break? I'm yep. your favor. Look to me. Mm-hmm. He's our shelter. Pastor
right.
Cliff ended with Psalm 91. And that was just...
I heard you got a little verklempt at that point, too. So we have two crybabies in the room because now we're asking Cliff to join our conversation. We have some questions that came in. Robert loved last week's sermon so much, but Cliff, we actually got some questions coming in midweek about the sermon. I love this. No, he's going to come sit here. So we'll hit those first. Remember, we're calling this a Q&R. So this is just a response, not a full answer. So just some brief takeaways to get you thinking and whet your appetite for the study of Scripture. That's why we're having these conversations. So Cliff, question one, how else does the Holy Spirit speak to us other than Scripture? So the person who sent in the question referenced 2 Timothy 3:16, then we know that all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness, so that the man and the woman of God may be equipped, complete for every good work. How else does God speak to us?
So before I even answer that, let me double down on Scripture. Scripture is God's preferred and primary way to speak to us.
Mm-hmm.
And so when any other way, it's still going to come back to Scripture. So my next way to answer that is God will speak to us through godly counsel. That when you see some of Jesus' people giving you godly counsel, we still have to test it. And how do mm-hmm. we test it? With Scripture.
Right.
And so when we have people in our lives that know Jesus and hear and are in step with the Spirit, they speak to us, that's a way that God will speak to us, but it'll only still be confirmed through Scripture.
It's not authoritative.
Absolutely
mm-hmm.
not. Yeah.
Okay. Great. So we've got Scripture. We've got wise counsel. We have the Spirit.
Yep. Those are probably the big three.
Yeah.
But it's the big one, and the other two fall under.
They submit
yes,
to
yes.
that. Yeah. Okay, good. You said, the next question is, can you explain more in depth what you mean when you say, and they've quoted your sermon, you and I and all humanity were made in the image of God, which is a spirit. So God is a spirit. And then they said, so you are a spirit. Explain that.
Okay, first of all, I feel this is almost unfair because this was last week. I have to dig into my memory banks, which is sketchy at best.
But we're talking about
I know.
How,
I know.
Okay.
I think I'm just giving a caveat in case it's a terrible R, a terrible response.
We'll just cut it.
So the idea is that we are, when we're made in the image of God, and we even looked at in the text in Corinthians about God being a spirit or the spirit, mm-hmm. and that we're made in the image of God, that we are mm-hmm. first and foremost spirit beings.
Mm-hmm.
That's what gets renewed. Mm-hmm. That's what lives on in the next life when we mm-hmm. see Jesus with a glorified body, but it's our spirit. And so, yeah, and it's most simply God made us in his image, mm-hmm. which is spirit.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's answering
great.
It okay?
Sure. I'm good with it.
Okay, good.
Moving into our text this week, you said right off the top of your sermon that the text addresses the ache of the heart of all of humanity. And so in 1 to 3 words, what is that ache? What's the ache of all of our hearts?
To quote Augustine, mm-hmm. The ache in our heart is something that only gets fulfilled when we're with God. It's whether we acknowledge it or not, it's our longing to be with God. That is ultimately our ache. It'll manifest in other places, in other ways, but that is ultimately our ache. When we find our rest, we find our rest in Him.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Robert brought this up already, but the question is, you talked about the presence of God being something like a warm embrace, and in other times it's like a shoulder-to-shoulder, work with me, be with me kind of a thing. Does the Spirit of God just know what we need, or do we ask for that? Like, what if I don't even know that I want that warm embrace? Like, if I'm not with Him, I don't realize how much I need Him.
That's the beautiful thing about a relationship with God, but it's also the frustrating thing. We think we know what we want, and we make our petitions known to the Lord, but our understanding is so limited. Mm-hmm. And so that's why when Jesus said, come to me and I will give you rest, learn from me. Mm-hmm. Jesus will teach us how to have this rest. And so one of the biggest challenges is we think we know what we need, but just like any parent with a toddler, we know that our toddler doesn't want candy every single day, mm-hmm. that they actually need healthy food. Mm-hmm. So I ask based on my understanding of what I need, but I trust the Lord that He's going to give me what I need every single time.
Okay. I love that answer. Question number 6, it's a long question, so I can reiterate the question part, but it's set up in this way. In today's sermon, it was discussed that Christian transformation is primarily a passive process where we are drawn into the presence of God and transformed by His action. This concept reminds me of a quote by Charles Spurgeon, who reflects on the divine initiative in his journey to faith. In quotes, "How did you come to be a Christian?" Response, "I sought the Lord." But how did you come to seek the Lord? "I saw that God was at the bottom of it all and that He was the author of my faith." End quote. This raises a question for me about the dynamics of active and passive elements in our faith. On one hand, we actively engage in prayer, or in practices like prayer, scripture reading, and worship. On the other hand, there are passive components such as regeneration and the endowment of faith, hope, and peace by God. Here's the question. How should we understand this interaction? Is our coming to Jesus an active effort on our part, for example, making time to be with Jesus, or is it a passive experience where He initiates and sustains our engagement? He causes us to make time for Him. How do these active and passive elements relate to each other in the life of a believer? Robert, start thinking about that one because you're going to get that question next. Okay.
Okay, that is a long question.
I know.
So let me start by saying the idea of the passive, I think we sometimes underestimate how active the Lord is. Like in 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter writes, "And God caused us to be born again." Mm-hmm. Like it was God who caused the affections of our heart. And right away, that's a really big verse because that tells us that the affections of our heart can be changed.
Yes.
So in my mind, when we come into the presence of God, it doesn't change what I do. It changes what I want to do.
Yeah.
The affections of my heart change.
Yeah.
So as we come into the presence of God, our hearts change. And so it's not that our actions change, but what we actually want to do changes. And out of that place, prayer, mm-hmm. you know, obedience, sacrifice.
Yes, yes.
Because why the affections of my heart change, where now I don't do things out of my mind, my will, but out of a changed heart.
And our desire to spend time with God and in His word does change the more we do it. Because that part of the question is like, do we have to make time for Him or will He call us to Him? You have experiences where you feel that God says, come, spend time with me.
Yeah, like that's one is the idea of it being proactive, then it's the Lord will only be known if I do these things, mm-hmm. that it's me initiated.
Right.
And I don't see that in scripture. Like, yes, it's a two-way street, but the Lord actually calls us and changes us. And so for me, I'm not worried about how many minutes I spend in prayer, mm-hmm. but rather I want to be with God.
Yeah.
It's not a chore. It's something very spontaneous, just like my time with you or with the kids. I get to. I want to do this instead said,
not
I
always.
Have to.
You don't always.
Fair.
I have evidence. You don't always. But I will say there have been times, you know how, like when you're driving and you're on the phone and the phone call is still going and you arrive at your destination. There have been times when I, like, so I'll pull over on the side of the road, finish my conversation, then drive into the parkade because we lose signal down there. And there have been times when I've been driving and I feel like God's like, will you will you pull over? Can we finish this time together? I'm loving that time. So sometimes it feels like that, but sometimes it's a bit of a slug. Like I have to, I'm saying I need to spend time with the Lord. Like Robert, how does your private time with the Lord look? Like what?
I think I agree with you so much. Sometimes it's like going to the gym. Like sometimes just getting there is the hardest part. Once you're there, I'm totally fine. And I leave going, that was so great.
Yes.
But I have to make that effort to go to the gym.
But you know it's good for you.
I know it's good.
And your desire is for that good thing. So it doesn't mean we're like being like that we don't want to spend time with God. I think sometimes we feel, like Cliff has said in the past, a lot of condemnation and shame because his spiritual disciplines look differently than mine.
And I think a lot of times we grew up thinking you have to spend an hour.
Yes.
So I love how Pastor Cliff just said, you know, it doesn't come down to the minutes.
I know. It's the quality of time. Like, how focused am I? Is my phone away from me? Like, am I enjoying him? Am I hearing from him? Am I taking time to listen to him?
And we're transformed.
Yes.
By spending time with him.
Right.
And we know that.
I know. Yeah. Okay. That's really good. I'm just looking to make sure I've got hit all the questions. I think we're good. Cliff, what is your issue with one more thing, anyways?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Cliff has a nickname for me.
Oh.
And you talked about it in the sermon today. You hated it was one more thing. Like this weekend was just one more thing on top of a really busy week.
Oh, yeah.
And you used the phrase one more thing
about
15 times. And that's what you call me. So what's your problem with one more thing? You don't have to answer that.
Okay, no. For all you podcast listeners, whenever Aaron and I are going out just for to the store or whatever, normal people just put on their shoes and coat and walk out the door. Aaron will do one more thing. She'll sweep or she'll put something away while I'm standing at the door with my coat on ready to go.
Done.
And so I called her one more thing. And so that was not what happened yesterday.
Okay.
It had nothing to do with you.
I just want you to know that. And then I have a question for both of you. The word unction, Cliff used the word unction a few times. Does anyone know, anywhere out there know what that word is? Robert, when you heard it, did you go, this guy's age is showing big time?
Or my mom uses that word.
Okay. I've got an unction to function. What we used to say something, I don't know, but where did that word come from?
Okay, it's conjunction, junction, what's your function?
Oh, yeah, okay.
It just rhymes,
fine,
yes.
Okay. Any last thoughts? Any last, Robert? One last encouragement to the body. Oh, this is my question for Robert before we go. What is at stake for us as Christians if we don't go deeper in this? We listen, we leave the building on Sunday, and midweek we can't even remember what the sermon was about. What's at stake for us as Jesus's people?
We miss out on so much. Just being in his presence just changes you.
Yeah.
So missing out on that is just so important, because we are going to have aches throughout the week. There will be one more thing that's going to... I was driving to Richmond this week, and I was listening to praise. It was. I thought he was going to end up telling the same story that happened to me.
Ah!
But it wasn't quite the same, but I was driving to Richmond, and I was listening to a song, and the lyrics were, from You Are All Things to You Are All Things.
Yep.
But someone cut me off, and I was actually... I kept singing. And I was saying, from you are all things, and to you are all things. So so my words were the right words, but that didn't look like what I was saying probably to the person in the car. So we need his presence to live that out every single day. Because from him are all things.
Yeah.
To him are all
things.
So
these reminders, like if we go and like listen to the sermon again, open our Bibles, get it into our study Bibles from there, and like read the text again throughout the week. We need to, as Pastor Matt will say a lot, stay in the Spirit. Cliff will say, keep on keeping in the spirit or keep on keeping on. Is that what it is? Because we so naturally go to the flesh. And what you just described there is just so natural. But if you stayed over there and didn't bring yourself back and recognize, wait a minute, I'm operating the flesh right now, right? To you and from all things, we bring ourselves back in alignment to the spirit. But what are those reminders? This is my question to all of everybody out there. What are those reminders, those little markers that we have every day that brings us back into the presence of the Lord, brings us back under the authority of Scripture, keeps us back in step with the Spirit? If we don't, if we just walk out of the building on Sunday, forget everything.
Because life happens.
Because life happens. Exactly. Okay, beautiful. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We hope that this podcast is helpful and fun for you. Have a great week, Westside, and we will see you on Sunday.